today you will not forget. Some surprises. I'm very happy to let me give you a little bit a summary. Yesterday I was approached by a very nice devotee who asked me to clarify what it means to use the intelligence to bring the mind where? In the heart. First of all, where is this concept from? It is from the Bhagavatam, and many scriptures talk like this, that we collect the mind first from the various subject matters of where it wanders and where it stays, and sometimes where it gets stuck even, and then bring it to transcendental subject matters. This is called Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti, Bhakti in practice. Jiva Goswami Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur details this by saying, stop the river of your ordinary thought and then direct it to me in my beautiful form of Syamasundara. How to do this we will do in an exercise, very easy, but as far as chanting, and the devotee was asking in terms of chanting, it is quite simple. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the perfection of mantra chanting can be obtained when you bring the mantra into the heart and stop it from going to material objects. So this is the same idea. Either you bring the mind into the heart, or you focus on the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and try to bring that into a devotional space, the space of the heart. I must admit to you that I am beginning to talk about these things after I think 2 decades now of engaging with the subject matter of meditation in Krishna consciousness or remembering in Krishna consciousness, and it starts the interest in the subject starts, I believe, when you want to be Krishna conscious or conscious of Krishna. Did you also like the exercise this morning of where Keshavam Maharaj had asked us to answer 5 questions, and as we were giving our one word answer, there were many, many answers on the which he noted down. And then he said, so, you are now thinking often of money, of fame, of love, of this, but if you want to be Krishna conscious, you must think of Krishna. Did you do this? Did it strike you as, oops, we were caught in our material ways and we were reminded where to go? So we are now today in this session, we are trying to bring the mind away from ordinary thoughts to Krishna. We can do this in the opening kirtan. I know that it is always good to start with the kirtan. You can sit down and sit straight. And you can approach kirtan in 3 ways. One is glorify Krishna. The second way is you can see this chanting as crossing through a gate, the Shravana Dvara, the gate of the hearing, which will bring a certain experience, and it's always when you move out of one realm and into another, there is another experience waiting. Or you can just relish being with Krishna as you think of him or look at the deity. So we would chant very slowly, very small time, and then we will chant. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit tired. I will soon wake up. I'm now between deep sleep and sitting. It takes a minute, then I'm back. Something that might help you is to just imagine the heart would have a mouth to sing, and then you can sing the mantra from there, and in this way have the mantra in the heart. Sometimes we need these very, very, very simple guidelines. So try to sing from the heart, as if your heart sings. Please sing, O heart.
Hare Krishna,
yes.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. You can immediately see the sound is very different when that conscious attempt is made to leave the mind. You don't need so much of a mind to understand Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it's a bit in the way. Here, I mean, obviously the speculative mind, the restless mind, the wandering mind, the attached mind, the immovable, inflexible mind. A philosophy is necessary and is understood through the intelligence and mind, and absorbed there. But philosophy can only show us the direction and convince us. But for the to move on in bhakti, we need more of an experience of Krishna. So Queen Kunti speaks about this idea of experience in the opening of her prayers. She says, remember, she has just seen a Krishna miracle. What was the miracle? The miracle was that Krishna was getting ready on his chariot to move to Dwarka, but then Ashwatthama, one of the surviving warriors of the Bhat battle, had made a last attempt to annihilate the Pandavas by heinously, not an open battle, through a brahmastra meant to burn the five Pandavas and their successor, the embryo in the womb of Uttara. And she, the successor of the son, the son of Arjuna's son. Who was Arjuna's son? Abhimanyu, right, and he had fathered a boy who was still in the womb of his wife Uttara, and Ashwatthama thought to annihilate this and bring victory to Duryodhana's side, who was lying on the battlefield, approaching death by the hour. So, yes, at that time, Krishna had deflected the five weapons aimed at the unarmed Pandavas, and he had also gone into the womb of the of Uttara. So Kunti started her prayers by acknowledging this feat of Krishna. She said, in simple words, you are the Supreme Lord who exists inside, that is, in the everywhere inside, also in the womb of Uttara, and outside on the chariot, so on. But she acknowledged a problem. And you are invisible, you are covered by the curtain of Maya. There are things, my dear devotees, which are most important for our sustenance, but which are invisible. For instance, the oxygen. There is a lack of oxygen, our Vinodini, Vrindavan Vinodini, is showing already signs of oxygen deeper deprivation. 5 minutes from here, she will be fast asleep. We have brought oxygen. So you can't see the oxygen, but it is nevertheless there, and its absence is direly felt. Very big. So in the same way, Krishna cannot be seen, and for the invisibility of Krishna, there is a reason. He is covered by a very invisible curtain, a layer of Maya. And Queen Kunti then ends this section, it's from the 18th verse to the 20th, by saying, you are perhaps known to the great Paramahansas, great souls, but not to women like me. This is not as a statement that Kunti doesn't hate women. She just wants to say not to ordinary people, you know? Then, a little further into the prayers, or quite further into the prayers, she says there is, however, a process by which we can see you, and although you are unapproachable, so to say, and invisible, this process is so dear to your heart, my Lord, that you took an incarnation, an avatar. You came down in order to bring this process to mankind. And we will actually do this today, this process. It comes in the, I can give you the reference, it's in the 8th chapter of the first canto, of course, verse number 36. In this section of Queen Kunti's prayers, she thinks about the various opinions of why the Lord took birth, and she concludes with her own realization that you came actually to help mankind by bringing this process. I will chant it in Sanskrit to you because you like so much the Sanskrit language.
Shrivanti gayanti grinantya pikshnasha.
It's nice if we chant it together, but we have to break it up a little because we don't have it here. So say after me,
Shrivanti gayanti
Shrivanti gayanti
grinantya pikshnasha.
Smaranti
nandanti
Smaranti nandanti
Kavitam jana
Kavitam jana
Taeva pasyanti
Taeva pasyanti
Achirena tavakam
Achirena tavakam
Bhava pravaho Paramam padam bhujam.
She says, oh Krishna, there's a reason for your appearance. You taught us, those who continuously hear and chant and repeat your transcendental activities all take pleasure in others doing so. Certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the pravaha of birth and death. Pravaha means the flow of karma here. So, and they can certainly see your lotus feet means they, by these activities, they will come directly into your presence and they will personally serve you. So, this hearing, chanting and repeating about Krishna will do two things. It will stop the circle of our karma or samsara, and it will bring us to the transcendental service of Krishna. I tried to compose for you a poem which I would like to present to you. It's a response of a Bhakta on why he chants. The Bhakta sees a Krishna has brought this process to stop our entanglement in karma and to bring him to you. And this is a possible reaction. I went to the river and I asked, why do you flow? And the river spoke, it's my nature. If I stop flowing, I'll die. Then I went to the wind and asked, why do you blow? And the wind repeated the river's words, it's my nature. If I stop, I'll die. It's in the same that the devotee who has taken this gift of Krishna, that chant about my names, my activities, he will say, if I stop chanting, I will. It has become my nature. If I stop it, I'll die. Then I came to the cremation place and asked a crow, why do you caw so loudly? Caw, caw. Sadly, the crow pointed to a dead man. Once when I was human, I did not follow my nature and I did not chant the names of our Lord. Then they burned my tongue and heart, and all I can do now is lament and call. No tongue to chant, no heart to feel. All is not lost, I objected. You still have some type of tongue and some heart. You can call in the kirtan and come fully alive. Hare Krishna. Trying. There is no massive round of applause, so I have to keep on trying. That applause doesn't count. Yes, my dear devotees, let us make this chanting our nature. We do still have a tongue and a heart, and we can do this. We can apply the process properly. Now, coming to a more serious way, how can we apply this process? Is there someone who teaches us how to use our tongue and how to approach Krishna? And you will be delighted to hear, my dear devotees, I'm just trying to find this here, that Queen Kunti gives us a wonderful example how we could stop the flow of our karma and come to Krishna. How can we fix Krishna in our mind? This is now the most important part of my little seminar, and I request you to be awake. We have provided oxygen for you, enough doses. You must know, in the first section of her prayers, Queen Kunti comes to the conclusion, it's so difficult to approach you for three reasons. First of all, you exist within and without, a little bit like the oxygen, which is everywhere. But second reason, this is very difficult for us to grasp. Second reason is you are covered by the curtain of Maya. This is something like the first reason also. So you are everywhere, in and outside, but you are covered. Let's make this one reason, no? And the second reason is it seems you can only be only understood by Paramahansas, these great people who are very absorbed in spiritual practice, but we are not. But then as she goes on in her prayer, she gives us a perfect process how we can approach the unapproachable. In the first prayer, it is prayer 21, we are always speaking of the 8th chapter, so I will not repeat it. She starts bursting out in a kirtan. She sings, Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devakinandanaya cha,
Devakinandanaya cha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Chant means like this. I think for those who like to present various forms of glorification of Krishna and kirtan, that's a very nice kirtan from the Bhagavatam. It means, let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki. And then he goes to Vrindavan. The boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and Govinda, the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Then she begins to move on and meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord. I'm not sure, Gokula, is this as sharp as we can have it, or it seems to be a little blurry? Yeah, but we need the lotus feet also. Yes, yeah. We typed in the artificial intelligence lotus feet, and that's what they understood. A lotus on the foot, no? It's more than that. It still needs to be a little bit educated. This is how she meets, and how she meditates about Krishna. She starts her meditation in a different way than we, because she knows if Krishna would see her looking at her lotus feet, he would feel uncomfortable. She's my auntie. She should not look down on my feet. So she starts with the lotus navel of Krishna. Then she goes to the garland of lotus flowers in her meditation. Then she goes to the lotus eyes. And finally, not to embarrass Krishna, she comes to her lotus feet. The gopis who are still closer than Queen Kunti would start with the lotus eyes, and then the lotus garland, the lotus navel, and the feet. But we who are not so close as Kunti and the gopis, we will go from the feet, navel, garland, and eyes. Clear? We need more oxygen for you here. So repeat after me, please. Nama Pankajanabhaya.
Nama
Pankajamalini.
Nama
Pankajanetraya.
Namaste
Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
grateful obeisances unto you, O Lord. Where does Queen Kunti start? Yes. Whose abdomen, this is how Prabhupada translates Navaya, can also mean navel, whose navel is marked with a depression like a lotus flower. Who are always decorated with what? Yeah, garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses, but on the sole and not up. But yes, let us reflect about the limitations of artificial intelligence. So this is the second step. After chanting the beautiful names of Krishna, Queen Kunti meditates on the beautiful form of the Lord. And then she does a very, very important meditation, which I will, if I have enough time, see if there's enough time. It means, it is meditating about Krishna in our life, Krishna's presence in our life. How Krishna has come into our life. This is how you make a relationship with Krishna, the Kunti way. She says, Yatha Rishikesha, Kalena Devaki, Kamsena Ruda, Chiram Sucharpita, Vimochita Hamcha, Sahatma Javibo, Svaryaivanatena, Muhu Vipatgana, O Rishikesha, Master of the senses and Lord of lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa and me and my children from a series of difficulties. She really says, I'm more fortunate than Devaki because her sons were not saved by you. They were killed actually. But my sons, they were protected. Perhaps she must have thought of a prayer which we find in Nectar of Devotion. And it said like this, Oh my Lord, you promised at the beginning of the Kurukshetra war that the day might come where the sun will become cool and the moon hot, but you will always keep your promise. At the beginning you protected, you promised to protect five of my children. How many children does she have?
Six.
Six, yes. You said the Panch Pandavas, the five Pandavas, not the six Pandavas, the five Pandavas. And here they are, fully alive. So she thinks in a relationship, in an experience with Krishna. My dear devotees, if you wish to bring Krishna in your heart, call Krishna in the heart, this is the process, and we will do it in a second. You start with what? Chanting Krishna's names. And you can look this up. I know you read regularly a minimum of 1 hour because you are faithful followers of Prabhupada. It's the first. It's first canto, 8th chapter, 21 to 23, no? these are the verses, three verses where you see this. She chants the holy names of Krishna, then she meditates about the beautiful body of Krishna, and finally she meditates about Krishna's presence in our, in their lives. I want to now, before we do this meditation, I want to ask you to turn quickly to your neighbor, who's just next to you. It doesn't mean need to be the most intimate, or not, it's not the word, close person. Just turn, find a person. It should be very fast. You found someone? You can three, yes, no problem. No problem. So, I know we already started to talk. It means there was not enough opportunity. Now you are full of opportunity. So please listen to the task. Who has not yet found a neighbor? You have not yet found a neighbor. I suggest you join a group of two, then you have a trio. You know, it is also nice. You know. So, everyone has found a neighbor. I will soon check you. You better be extremely honest here. I'm joking. I'm in a joyful mood. My dear devotees, now please focus. How do you experience Krishna in your life? Is it when you have a darshan of Krishna? Is it at times of difficulties when you pray to Krishna and you somehow feel his reciprocation? How do you experience Krishna? Please don't say, I have no experience of Krishna, and think you are super humble. This is not the definition of humility. We are asking for, when do you feel Krishna in your life? Is it perhaps during chanting? And now the trick of this is, be very sincere and honest. Don't say something which you have learned in the class, or make a false statement. We have many lords here, they all listen. So, is the question clear?
Yes.
You might have to do a little spiritual astrology, go a little deeper than you normally. You can say, if this is your experience of Krishna, sometimes when I eat prasadam, I just know it. This is touched by the Lord. No, you can. It should be sincere and honest. And please don't stay in meaningless superficialities. No, just do a little. Was there maybe a thing that occurred recently? Like yesterday, a devotee came to me and said, I never thought I would worship deities, but then my friend went to India and said, can you please take care of the deities? I said, no, I don't know how to do things. And he suggested offering water and incense, and I did this. And when the friend came back, I was so attached to the deities that I could not imagine to part from them, but the friend had brought another set of deities and had said to me, you have a choice. You can either keep my deities, the old deities, so to say, or take the new deities. I will be satisfied to either take my old deities or to stay with my new deities. And this is how I felt. Krishna came in his Krishna way to convince me and come to me. So we look for this, or at the time of the death of our father or mother, how we felt Krishna's presence. So you have to be a little, fine-tune your brain a little bit, no? And if there is less oxygen in the brain, then it will come. done now? Short exercise, because we will now remember Krishna, the Kunti Dei, and we will go through the three steps. We will first do a little kirtan. I will show you Gokrishna's brilliance. Gokrishna, I've forgotten the melody which we sung 3 years ago. When we were driving from the Serbian summer camp to the Ratha Yatra in Novi Sad, and we sing on the way. His remembrance is not so strong today. We chanted another one at the other time. Anyways, but we have something else. So we will chant together. Then, as the melody continues, I will guide you into a meditation about Krishna's form. Those of you who are visual or who have eaten too much, so that the brain doesn't work, you can go. We will go from the lotus feet of the Lord upwards and then take a snapshot in our screen of our heart and keep it there. Then again, I will bring you to the next meditation where you think about Krishna's presence in your life. Like Queen Kunti, she has given an example of this. Okay. Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha
Krishna.
As we went to sing and continue to sing, I will say something to you. As you sing, please don't stop. It's not impolite if you sing while I talk to you. And give you some meditation prompts. That will be very good for you. Please let us start singing. Once again, everybody,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna looks at you,
Krishna, Krishna,
with his lotus eyes. His glance is very cool,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Hare
meditation. It is said you should meditate on the radiant face of the Lord. It's like the moon. And he showers through his eyes his mercy on us. So you can see the face of the Lord and the kind eyes which shower mercy to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Meditation, it goes from the rupa actually to the lila. I have explained it like that the devotee can think of Krishna's mercy in his life, or he can and she can remember the pastimes, the activities. You know, from a still picture like this, the Lord comes and is active, and a very, very good lila smaram is given here. Yes, where Queen Kunti remembers a pastime of Krishna which is extremely dear to the devotees. As you know, Krishna is restlessly moving in Braj, and but there is one pastime which we actually glorify for an entire month, where the inconceivable Lord is agreeing to be bound by a love. You know this pastime? The Damodar Lila. There's a prayer by one of the acharyas is, "My Lord, you easily break the attempts to catch you of even Dantavakra and Vidurata. But the love of Mother Yashoda, you cannot escape that." It is like this. Mother Yashoda's heart is like a lotus, and her love is like honey. So So you are coming as, what is his name? Holy thief, no? Madhusudan. You come as Madhusudan into Yashoda's heart to taste the honey of her life. Then Mother Yashoda binds you with the rope of her love, and you cannot get free. Although you break free from all the attempts to catch you by the strongest persons of this world, like Dandamaka and Vidurata. And the image is very, very nice. And there are bees who can drill their way through granite, but not through the soft. The Lord is like this. He cannot be. He's like the granite bee. But he gets captured and held imprisoned by the closing. By Mother Yashoda keeps him with her love. So Queen Kunti remembers this pastime also. It's not that we only remember it. You, Kartik, she says, Gopya date tvai kritagasi. Gopya date tvai kritagasi damatavad. Yate dashashru kalilanjana sambramaksham vaktram diniya bhayabhavanaya sthitasya samam vimohayati pir apiyat vibheti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense. He stole. And your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes, smeared all over. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Even the holy name is so powerful that the Yamadutas, the messengers of death, run away when someone chants it, even if he's like Ajamila. So fear, these personified, fearful persons run afraid, away, but you were genuinely afraid when Mother Yashoda bound you. You were really afraid, you cried. Three lines on your neck were shaking, and the jeweled necklace was shaking. You were so afraid. So, this is called Lila Smaranam, remembering Krishna's pastimes in some ways. It's very easy to do that when you do it limited to one mantra, like this one. The mantra I read to you, or the verse, was 1831, and with some practice, after some time, the devotee whose heart is purified by chanting and by surrendering to the instructions, that is, Jiva Goswami says that's the condition. You need to purify your heart by surrender, by chanting, by serving devotees. He also mentions that. Then more of Krishna comes. But the start is, here is also, how did this come? here is a process, and you can please take note of it. It was 1821. Then it moves on to 1822. And then it moves on further to 1823. And this introduces you to Krishna, to being conscious of Krishna. But because we are, once Prabhupada said the benefit of having spiritual names, he said, mostly we think of ourselves, but when we have a spiritual name, we think of Krishna. Like, I will think of the time of death, all such, you know, you you blew it. I'm saying Sachi Nandan. Very good. If I would say my passport name, that's not so good. So in the same rationale, we can also think about Krishna in our life, how he saved us, how he appeared as these small Krishna miracles, no? They will help us to be and like this. So this is one way of approaching the unapproachable. The second way, which we will now present to you, it's the best part, it's just now coming, is there is a verse which our Keshava Maharaj has mentioned this morning. Who has it? I think Radhika Ranjan is just finding it for us. It tells us that the Krishna can be obtained from a pure devotee. We say this, there's a song of Krishna. He said to the devotee, Krishna is yours, he is in your heart, you can give him to me. No? So there is a verse, Tulayama lavena pi na swagam na puna bhavam Bhagavat sanghi sangasya madhyanam kim utashishaha. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. So here the point is a moment association of a high class devotee of the Lord who doesn't speak about, I don't know, comics or so, is given more value than all the material benefits you can get here on this earth. The moment of such association is given more value than even the attainments on the heavenly planets. And listen to this, this association is even more valuable than moksha or liberation from matter. And this is so because in the heart of the pure devotee, there is Krishna, and if you are associating with that, with such a pure devotee, you may be even a bum from the lower east side in New York. You may stumble up Riverside Drive while there is an icy storm raging, and you may meet Prabhupada, just there, a pure devotee, briefly, and then in your heart the seed is planted that will eventually grow. This is where we can get and obtain devotees from. And so we will now see this. We will meet a bum from Lower East Side. He will come here. This will be removed. And he will meet Srila Prabhupada, and you will see something amazing if he is in this. So he's on his way. It's a real bum. He may smell from, like alcohol, so don't get disturbed.